Grade 3 Conference, Lecture 61, Language Arts Continued. Now we're going to look at the child's relationship to writing in Grade 3, and there are two aspects of this. One is form. This, if you are east of the Mississippi River, is very likely the year in which your children are going to write in cursive for the first time. If you are west of the Mississippi River, it's very likely that the children started cursive in second grade. I'm not quite sure why it worked out this way, but certainly Rudolf Steiner College has traditionally been a bastion of teaching cursive writing in grade two, whereas Sunbridge College and other trainings on the East Coast and most of the Midwest have encouraged people to wait until grade three. I happen to teach on the East Coast, and that's about the only reason that I did it in grade three. There are lots of justifications for it, but I don't think it matters so much if it's grade two or grade three. However, in the instructional video on form drawing, I will show those of you who are going to begin cursive in third grade a fairly fast and I think fairly effective way of teaching children cursive writing. And as you probably know, this is a type of writing that within your teaching career may very well disappear from public schools, mainstream education, and Waldorf schools may be one of the few places on earth that keep the flame glowing for that, because of the feeling that children are mostly typing anyway. They need to learn to read prints so that they can block letters, so that they can read a book. But there's no reason on earth that anybody will need cursive anymore. One thought about this, if your parents bring this up and ask why you're spending the time doing it, something that Rudolf Steiner said when he was asked about keeping in touch with those who had died, you know, meeting the dead in the afterlife, and people said, should we, you know, keep their books around? Should we contemplate, meditate on a photograph of the one who has passed away? And Steiner said, actually, all of that will pass away. It will not be of any importance for the one who has died. And he or she will not be able to make a connection with that. He said, but if you keep things that have their handwriting, if you keep letters, if you keep papers, anything that carries the handwriting, there you are still able to see the eternal individuality at work. And that's something that the one who has died can focus on and helps to retain a connection there. So that's one reason for teaching cursive, whether it's in grade two or in grade three. So we'll look at this in the form drawing video. But the other thing that's going to change in the writing the children do this year is the nature of the content. One aspect of this is that because you are going to be teaching grammar, which we will hear about in an upcoming lecture, you are going to write sentences with more adjectives, more adverbs, and you're going to want to write sentences that are longer, now and then compound, now and then complex. Not that you're going to explain very much of that to the children, but you are going to raise the bar of your own writing so that even when they are copying what you have written on the board, and that will still be the lion's share of what they do this year, that you're giving them more of a mature example of how to write. And of course, the subjects now that are coming their way will require longer sentences and will start to expand their vista of what one can express through writing. So some of this will just come in the course of things, but be aware of it. You don't want to be writing in January precisely the way you are writing in September. You don't want to be writing in April and May the way you are writing in January and February. You want to keep writing more and be more and more aware of the example, the model that you're giving to the children of different kinds of sentences. You'll be taking that up, of course, in fourth grade. But in the actual writing that you do, you're already performing an important task for the children. That's going to be the most powerful way in which they learn to write, learning to write from you. Now, in terms of the children doing more expressive writing, well, we can think again of those essays that I read to you a few lectures back. Clearly, third graders, if the obstacles are cleared out of the way, are capable of saying things about their own experience of the world. And I think that we tend to err on the side of having them imitate too much, having them copy too much from us. Of course, this makes for very nice main lesson books with full pages of written work. That's fine. And there again, even in imitating us, even in copying, that's already teaching them valuable lessons about writing. But I think that it would be good if you would challenge the children a little bit more, and perhaps 1/5 of the time that they write, their writing is something coming out of them. Or if you feel your class is more linguistically gifted, perhaps 25% of the time you might try that. That's already a huge jump over what most teachers would do and what most teachers have done for years. It's usually not until fourth grade that the children are being asked to write very much out of themselves. But I would say that for today's child, giving them an opportunity to express something of what they are going through in their 9-year change. And the most effective way of doing this would have them write a little bit about the adventures of Joseph, or an experience of Moses, or what Samson or Samuel were going through, to not just ask them to do creative writing completely out of themselves, but to make it narrative so that they're talking about something they've learned about. But give the opening, and it may sometimes be that you just say, you can copy what I wrote on the board. If you would like to add something to it, you may, and I'll help you with the spelling and make sure that it's grammatically correct. Or if you want to write a poem about this, something along that light. I think that it is important for the 21st century child that we start to open the doors a little bit more to the recognition that the astral body is coming towards them faster. They have to perhaps incorporate more of it than children in previous generations, even in the few generations that have experienced Waldorf education in the 20th century. And it may be time for us to give them a chance to do more expressive writing. I would also say that I would be very appreciative if any of you taking part in this conference who decide to take this up and try to work with your children in this way, if you would be so kind as to email me, or whatever people are going to do in the many years that these conferences will be in existence, contact me in some way or other and let me know what happened, how that worked out. Just in general, of course, anything you'd like to share with me about anything you learned in this conference, not just how you feel at the end of the conference, which I hope is wonderful, but how you feel in January, in February, in March, in April. Did this conference give you some new ideas? Did it prepare you well? How did the children respond when you tried to carry out some things that you learned here? That would always be wonderful. So, those are the two major things to be aware of with writing, that you are writing more on the board for the children, you're writing it with a more of a sense of style. Perhaps if you're writing about, you know, the Israelites' time in the wilderness, you're going to be using more adjectives implying darkness and despair and difficulty, whereas when you're talking about King David bringing the Ark to Jerusalem, then it's going to be using adverbs expressing joy and mobility. So be aware of that. Now you are more and more of the model for the children. And also, when the children write, it's very important that you are walking around the room whenever they're doing anything in their main lesson book, being aware of which children now, especially because you're writing more on the board, are going to have a harder time looking up at the board, remembering the word or words that they saw, remembering the spelling, remembering the placement, and getting that in their books. So as you write more, and as it gets a little bit more complicated, the likelihood of their making mistakes is greater. So you really want to be checking in on that and making sure that they are, you know, able to manage it. If you find that too many mistakes are being made by too many children, that's your fault. You know, you're rushing, you're going a little bit too quickly into more complicated writing, so you may have to pull back and simplify it. When a child writes something for you, if you put out the possibility of the child doing something out of themselves, a sentence or two or a paragraph, then a good way of doing this is to have them write it on a piece of paper. They don't have to use lined paper yet. I think they can wait till fourth grade for that. But they write it down, leaving space between the lines for your corrections, and then they bring it up to you. And you go over it with them, give them a little spelling lesson, give them a little grammar lesson at that moment, explain why this is a mistake and why this part is correct. So this is going to be, I would say, something you're going to carry on for the next years. Use these moments when they've written something of their own, when it's still fresh for them, and the corrections you make will really have greater impact. In third grade, I would continue to correct all of the spelling for them. However, you might want to have a spelling dictionary in the classroom. And for those children who want to be more ambitious or who are better, stronger readers, who might want to look these things up for themselves, you might just even want to have, you know, a regular large print dictionary in the room for that. I wouldn't make a fuss about it, but there may be children who just enjoy the challenge of working with that. There again, in grade four, we're going to take a big step in that direction. So see what happens as you encourage the children to write something out of themselves. And also, I would say one other rule of thumb, which I also hope you will keep in mind in the years to come, as well as grade three, that don't overdo the amount of content that you put on the board. No, you have to economize too. You have to separate the essential from the non-essential. They don't have to write every detail about every single story. That gets to be tedious. You want them only to be writing what they fully understand. And what I would always tell my class parents was, when your child brings home the main lesson book for this block or a set of main lesson blocks, sit down with her. Ask her to read to you what she wrote and ask her what that means, to put that in her own words. And if she can't do that, please let me know, because that's an inadequacy in my teaching. So this is very, very important. When I visit schools all over the place and the children show me their main lesson books, the first thing I ask them is, what is that about? Or what does that mean? Or, no, you don't have to read that to me. Just, you know, tell me in your own words what that's about. And I am astonished at sometimes, especially in the upper grades, how much they say, I don't know, I don't remember. Yeah, it was those guys, I don't know, like they wanted to kill the king or something. This is an eighth grader, you know, talking about the French Revolution. That's not good. That's not good. And it starts right here, that you make sure you're challenging them in what you write, you're increasing the content and so on, but at the same time, it's always within their comprehension. You know, you're not just bypassing them or only working for the very brightest children. You want the great majority of children in the class to certainly be understanding what they're doing. Otherwise, it's just a big show. You know, we're showing off student work, but the work exists in the main lesson books and not in the children. So keep that in mind. We'll look next at the work that we will do in third grade grammar.